Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha kakahiaka. Welcome to the Crystal and Kaivi Talk Story at 9 a.m. high time. Today's topic is diving into aloha. Crystal and Kaivi are two wonderful Hawaiian ancestry, and we walk our spiritual path with Keakua, Na'amakua, Na'akapuna. That is, we walk it with God, our spirit guides, as well as our ancestors. My name is Crystal. My co-host is Kaivi, and we start each show with our pule, which is a prayer. So, Happy New Year, everyone, and here's my wonderful co-host, Kaivi.
Aloha and Happy New Year. We always begin with a pule, so let us begin. Mahalo Keakua, mahalo na'u makua, mahalo na'akupuna, mahalo na'anela, our angels. Thank you, Keakua, for this day that your hands have created. We always thank you for bringing us into this space, in this time and space, to discuss and share what we know, and also to open up the space of love and aloha. Keakua, we thank you for bringing us into 2016, a new beginning, a new chapter. And we ask Keakua for guidance with Na'u Makua, our guides, Na'akupuna, our ohana, our loved ones, to open up the pathway for greater consciousness, greater awareness, and most of all, our aloha for one another. Keakua, we thank you again, and we invite you into this space to raise our vibration, not only for our good, but for the highest good of all. We release our prayers. Amama uanoa, it is given, it is free. Amen, amen, amen. Happy New Year, Happy New Year, Happy New Year.
Amen. Happy New Year to you, too. Ha'ole makahiki ho, right?
Ha'ole makahiki ho, yes.
Yeah. Or, and in Spanish, it's Feliz Año Nuevo. There we go. So, Happy New Year,
oh, okay.
Everybody. Yeah. Then that's all.
Learning
that's
something
all
new.
Yeah, that's all of my, what do you say? My languages.
Oh, I'm ready.
Yeah, I am too. So, I decided on our theme for this week, diving into aloha. Last week we were talking about, let's dive into this new year with, you know, grace and ease and abundance and love and everything. And sure, everybody's going, so we're diving into hello and goodbye, which, you know, is the Western westernization of the word aloha. As you and I both know, it has very deep, 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 deep meaning. And I just wanted to share some of that with everybody. You know, when I talk with people, I use aloha, even here in the mainland, here on the continent, I use aloha. And when I correspond with people, I use it as my salutation, to the point of I have a few friends that have messaged me back. I really like it when you tell me aloha. It just makes me feel so good. And it's like, yes. That's what it's intended to do, you know. The art of letter writing, you know, has gone with the texting and the tweeting. And, you know, so there's only so many characters. And, you know, back in 10 years ago, it used to cost you to send a text. Now you can get a text, and unlimited texting plan is your unlimited calling plan. But the art of letter writing is being lost, you know, and we still need to know how to write a letter, but why don't you just spice it up a little bit, you know? So I don't even know how I got onto letter writing, but it nonetheless, but when you're writing, you know, writing And in my case, I write a lot. And when I'm sending out emails to business associates or potential clients, I always address them as with the aloha, because a lot of people are accustomed to saying namaste to one another. You know, I see the light that's mm-hmm. inside you, you know, blah, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but aloha has that same connotation of
yeah.
I see the light in you, I see the love in you. And,
yes.
you know, it got westernized when the missionaries
mm-hmm.
came and the Europeans came to where it was like, oh, well, that's just how they say hello and goodbye. Well, no, it's not just how. It is, you know, the ha. It has
mm-hmm.
that of, you know, me making that effort to say hello,
mm-hmm.
aloha. You know, there's that mm-hmm. deeper meaning that we tend to forget about, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the, oh, aloha, yeah, hi. It's not that. It's not a casual, hello, how are you doing, or what's up? It has that deeper connotation, you know, and when I remember hearing family say, oh, aloha you, or but I used to giggle when I would hear that because I was a child, because it was English and Hawaiian, you know. We've heard of Spanglish,
mm-hmm.
right? So that was
mm-hmm.
Hawaiian.
mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
was,
mm-hmm.
but for them, to, instead of them just saying, I love you, I aloha you was more of the, or this is how I felt. I'm, you know, you tell me if I'm off base with it, but when, you know, my auntie would tell me, I aloha you, I could feel that aloha in a different sense of the word love. It just
mm-hmm.
felt deeper. It
mm-hmm.
hit on that DNA
mm-hmm.
level, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, but I used to
mm-hmm.
still giggle.
mm-hmm.
You know, because I didn't get it
mm-hmm.
as a child. We, you know, it wasn't explained to us the difference between aloha and
mm-hmm.
love. Not saying that it's different in the aspect of how we feel about each other, but it was that curl your toes, give you the goose pimples, make the hair stand up on the back of your neck, because it was talking to all of you. Not just the physical you. It was the body, mind, and spirit you that would ring your bell. That's why everything was going off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is what I want to share with everyone today, is that feeling of being acknowledged and knowing that I see the light in you and that I aloha you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, again, I think certain words like namaste and aloha and even the phrase God bless, you know, those are things that it's not taken lightly when given with the full intention. So
correct.
when it is said with the true intention, it comes across that way. It's again, in the word aloha, we have, again, ha, and we've discussed this before, ha, breath. And so again, when anything is given or said, not only in the Hawaiian culture, but I think in any culture, with the understanding and awareness that once things leave you, again, words, touch, thoughts, that is your mana, that is an essence that is leaving you, going to the intended. So when the word aloha, it is with aloha we give you. It is our essence, our ha, comes out, and we send that forth. And, you know, just like you said earlier, you share that word with everyone. I do the same thing now, and I have been for the last couple of years. we grew up with the word, we knew the word, but, you know, again, maybe it was westernized too much that I didn't feel comfortable using it because we would hear all the visitors or tourists say, aloha, aloha, you know. So the local people really didn't use those words, that word, you know. And then as for me, as I understood the meanings of these words, your lifestyle, or when your lifestyle or your awareness changes, then the meaning grows. So it's no longer, you know, you can't say aloha without being in a good mood. You know, I wouldn't say aloha if I'm in a grouchy mood because it just wouldn't come out that way. I wouldn't be able to say aloha, you know, because it just doesn't sound right, you know. So
exactly.
If I'm not in a good mood, you would say, you know, how's it, what's up, kind of stuff, you know. But you have to be in that frame of mind, that sense of place within yourself to express that word, you know. And so for me, you know, and I'm sure it with you, it comes from within. It just does not, it's no longer just a word we use. It's a part of us. It's that essence that come out of us, the mana that is shared when we say that word, aloha, you know. I'm no longer the type of person you go someplace and they go, aloha. It's like, no, you know, because that really is not where it fits well with me. But when I do share the word, that essence come forth, aloha, how are you? You know, it is in that space that I am giving, just like you said, like your aunt, when that word came out, even if it was used in the context of a English statement, you still understood the word because it was shared with the meaning or the intention that it was for, you know. And that's it. When we live in that space of aloha, then you would understand the word. Same like when anyone else says to you, namaste. We understood it. We understand that. Or God bless you. You won't hear somebody in a grouchy mood, very turned off, or whatever have you, say aloha or namaste or God bless you, because they need to
feel that. It'll come out very forced.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I love it with this topic because we're diving into a new year and it is in that space of aloha. It is in the space of namaste. It is in that space of living it, truly diving into it, letting yourself immerse. It's the same thing when you jump into the ocean. I want to share a quick story. We did a cleansing last year sometime, and maybe a bunch of us, 5-6 of us, and we all got into the ocean, nice cleansing, releasing, letting go all the rubbish. And, you know, each one of us dove in, including my wife, who has not gone into the ocean for quite a while. You know, she dove in and we all went in. And this one person, a friend of ours, she refused to get her hair wet. And she kept coming near us. We kept moving. And she's like, why do you guys keep moving away from me, you know, swimming away? And we're like, sister, you need to get your hair wet. You need to dive in to release all that rubbish you're carrying. She's like, no, I'm not. And so she kept coming, swimming near us. And as we moved away, you know, she stopped and she said, you know, wow, this is so unfair of you guys. And then this wave came and it hit her, completely slapped her. And then we were laughing and we said, okay, because you didn't want to let go. The wave came and let go for you because she was completely drenched and she was like, okay, I get the point now. And then she understood, you know, again, understanding that we need to let go, we need to clear, and then you can understand what we're talking about, diving in with aloha, diving into aloha. We need to immerse ourselves completely to understand some of these things. You know, when you understand it, when you understand the awareness, your awareness, when you understand your highest good, then really the essence of the word aloha comes to life. I want to jump in. I brought out my Hawaiian dictionary and the word aloha. I just want to read briefly. It means love, affection, compassion, mercy, sympathy, pity, kindness, sentiment, grace, charity, greeting, salutations, regards. sweetheart, lover, loved one, beloved, loving, kind, compassionate, charitable, lovable, to love, be fond of, to show kindness, mercy, pity, etc., etc., etc. So this word has the connotation of a great word, and it may be only five letters. Connotation or the essence of this word is so strong. You cannot help but be in the mood when you say the word. You cannot be in any other mood. Like Crystal said, it'll be forced, you know, and you would understand it when you say aloha, and the person that is intended to receive that will not feel that essence of the word. Aloha, how are you? When we say it with loving kindness, aloha, how are you? Big difference. Then you feel everything of what this word means. And when we dive into 2016, Crystal and I were laughing because earlier, you know, we talked over the holiday part, and I said, you know, dive in head first or belly flop, you know. But I'm immersing myself head first or belly flop. As long as I immerse myself completely.
Absolutely. That's funny that you said that. But
sorry, I took you off track.
No, I was sitting here, had another funny thought come to my head, so I got to figure out how I can wind it into the show. You know me, sometimes I got pilau mouth. So I'll let that part of the brain work on it while I go back to sharing on the aloha, you know, and right, it can't be forced. You know, it's something that you have to feel. But there was something, when you were reading off the different dictionary meanings of aloha, it reminded me of Kumu Pilahi Paki's meanings of aloha, you know, the kahai, you know, kindness to be expressed with tenderness, lokahi, unity to be expressed with harmony, olu, olu, kindness to be expressed with pleasantness, ha'a, ha'a, humility to be expressed with modesty, aho, ahonui, patience to be expressed with perseverance. And one thing that the dictionary, when you pulled it out and read, and this, we're we always can remember to be kind to others, and however, and then we're harder than hell on ourselves. The kindness and the love has to start within. You have to open up your innate gift Keakua gave you. That first gift is aloha. You know, if you continue to share what you think is aloha with others, but not share it with yourself, you're robbing yourself one, and you're not giving fully two. You have, you know, that's that part of, you know, for those of you that have studied the namaste, that is the true meaning of aloha. You have to be able to feel it about yourself, feel it so you can share it with others, you know. When I just had three clients this last year that I helped with Akka cords, and I had them cracking up in stitches because since I was a little girl, and for a little while I stopped, but then when I was about 17, I started doing this again. And we all have those phenomenal milestones in our lives that we really do something great for ourselves. Well, I used to have this illusion that all celebrities sat in the bathtub, in the bubble bath with the telephone next to it. So one of the first things I did when I moved out on my own when I was 18, got me the longest cord to get my telephone in the bathroom so I could sit in the bubble bath and talk on the telephone. I thought that was the coolest thing. And you guys are wondering, what the heck does this have to do with aloha? I'm getting there, I promise. when I used to be a little girl, I used to kiss my hands and tell myself, I love you, because nobody else could tell me I love you the way I tell me how I loved myself. And then I stopped because I got busted, like, by my brother or somebody doing it one time when I was, you know, coming out of the bathroom kissing my hands. And he's like, oh, you're wanting to kiss the boy, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm not naming any names because I do have friends that listen to this show from my middle and high school days. So I'm not implicating anyone. Then I had a really good friend. She passed when we were in our 20s, I think. But her dad was a psychologist, and he would talk to us about, you know, you need to learn to love yourself. And he worked at a world-famous rehab clinic where, you know, people with drug addiction would go, that kind of a clinic. And, you know, and so he, you know, he had just a real heart-to-heart talk with his daughter and I one day. We were just sitting and talking, and, you know, and I said, you know, I used to, when I was younger, I used to go around kissing myself and telling me I love you. He goes, that's great. He goes, you have to love yourself, and you have to be in love with yourself. And here's this man, his ancestry was German, and so he had that German-ness about him, you know, where, because that's one of the languages that not a love language. It's kind of loud and harsh, right? So he's like, you've got to be passionate. You have to, you know. And so I'm laughing. Here I am, 17 years old, and here's this man telling me, you have to have passion. And so, but I took it to heart. I went home, and I started telling myself, I love you, and started kissing myself. Well, you know, fast forward to 2015, and I have these three clients I'm working with, and I tell them, I said, nobody's going to love you like you love you, and you have to love yourself. You have to be in love with yourself so you're capable of helping others and loving others. And all three of them are women, and they were cracking up because, you know, I made my hand in a little fist, and I started kissing my hand like I did when I was a little girl. I love you, I love you, I love you. And they're just rolling on the floor laughing. And I says, but, you know, if you're not capable of looking in the mirror and telling yourself, I love you, with that same kind of compassion that you would tell a lover or a child, the easiest way to get started is kiss your hand. And I've had respond back to me since that first meeting. And they giggle, and they go, I'm still having difficulty looking myself in the mirror and saying, I love you. But it's easier when I kiss my hand. And I was like, ta-da, because it is. You know, because in our mind, we're told, you have to act this way or be that way. No. You know, accept the innate gifts that you have. The innate gift from Kekua of Aloha. Start there.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yep.
And I, you know, and so, you know, if you go away from this show, crack it up. Crystal has done lost her mind. She is kissing her hand. I was a child. I, you know, all babies suck on their hands. I just took it from sucking on my hand to kissing on my hand. But I, you know, for those that know me, I am one of the most passionate people on the planet. I am passionate about people being in love. I'm passionate about animals. I'm passionate about non-GMO foods. But the reason I'm passionate about those things is because of, one, my relationship with self and my relationship with Kekua. And so, and in order to be able to share my passion, I have to, you know, have to be in a good place for myself. What kind of coach would I be if I was one of those, you got to have passion. I don't know. Just look in a book. Read it. Figure it out. That doesn't tell me. You know, if I had that kind of a coach, I would be going, I would raise my hand, excuse me, but where would I find this? Well, just look inside yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What in it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that, for me, wouldn't work. You know, and there's a lot of people that that kind of mm-hmm. a coach would work for them. But for me mm-hmm. and for the clients and the people that I draw to me, I want them to feel the emotion of love, the emotion of passion, you know, because that is part of how we communicate. That's that energy field. You know, all day long I can say words, but if you're not getting it and you're not feeling it, then I'm, you know, I'm sucking it, delivering it.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you, and I think that's one of the hardest things that we as human beings have to learn is to love yourself. You know, again, like you said, we were taught, you know, that this is this and this is that. And you think about those thoughts, though, if it was handed down from generation to generation of people that never experienced it themselves, what they're going to do is pass on their cycle to you. And again, I would say a good 90% of the people do not love themselves enough, or even learn to love themselves, or even know to love themselves. And when we start to do that, completely learn to love you, just like what you said, you know your connection with Akua, you know yourself, that passion within you. That's the same with me. And once you figure out that passion, and when you learn to love yourself completely, boy, it makes a whole difference in your awareness, in your life. It shifts a whole lot. And that's, again, what you said. If you can walk away from this show with learning one thing, you know, that's what we want to get across to you, is learning to, I'm going to jump in that, aloha yourself, learning to love yourself. And everything that the word aloha stands for, when you can do that for yourself, watch what happens. You know, and here we are, 2016, diving head first, belly flopping, whatever have you. But here we are, immersing yourself in aloha, in the word aloha. You know, when someone says to me, namaste, I say aloha. You know, and I mean it. Every part of me means it. You know, your life has this purpose now. You are more mindful of what you share, of how you share it. The words that you choose to share that comes out of you is an essence of you, like the word aloha. Now you're living the word aloha. So if you live in the word aloha, you engulf yourself in aloha. When words are chosen, they're meticulously chosen from, you know, within to share, because everything is a mana. And you're sharing your mana, you're sharing your mana'o, all in the space of aloha. You know, again, I'm like you. I had a client that came and he worked on his exterior, and he was very upset with me. And he really, you know, bit back. And I was fine with it. You know, he's like, how dare you tell me, da, 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 da. I'm exercising. I'm going to the gym and everything. And I'm like, and here I am going, mm-hmm. And I didn't say anything about that. I said, you need to learn to love yourself. He said, I am. I said, mm. And I said, I'm standing my ground just as much as you're standing your ground. I said, what good is an exterior if the interior is not good, not pono, not balanced, or, you know, an outside of a fruit or a vegetable can look all good, but the interior could be rotten. When we work on complete transformation, we only can do it from the inside out, you know. And so he looked at me and he said, I understand what you're saying now, because I feel hollow. And I said, mm-hmm. I said, you bit back at me. I'm fine with that. I said, but the truth is, what good is your outside looking if you can't fix the inside? And he was like, got it. You know, again, when we live aloha, It's not an exterior of aloha, because when it, you can say the word, you can, you know, any one of us can say that word. It's what conveys when we say the word. If it's living in that space of aloha, then you feel it when you say that word. You experience aloha, you know, and that's it. In Nana Viri's books, her book, not books, in Change We Must, she goes to tell of a story of when she was growing up, and a stranger was approaching their home, and she ran and told her grandmother, there's a stranger coming, and the grandmother made food and everything, and they invited him in, and he ate and everything, and he left. Before thanking them, he thanked them, and he left. He went on his way. And the grandmother, you know, Nana Viri said, Grandma, why did we feed a stranger? And she said, we weren't feeding the stranger. We were feeding the God, the light of God within that person. That's aloha. That's living it. That's breathing it. You know, that's encompassing and in enveloping yourself in aloha. You know, it's really believing your belief, walking your talk, truly immersing in aloha. And that's it. You know, that's Crystal. I got to share this. Crystal and I really, we didn't have this long friendship that you know, other people had. We met, you know, when she was here in Hawaii visiting a friend, and I knew of that friend, so I was invited, and Crystal and I just hit it off. Straight out, boom. And she said, Brother, can I come out and stay at your house? I said, shoot. She never met my family. She never met my wife or my kids. But here she is. She's part of our family. I've never met her husband, but he's part of our family. That's aloha. That is, you know, for me, it's living it, breathing it, loving it. It's just in that space. I've gone, you know, and Crystal and I can share our stories of aloha, you know, completely. I've allowed strangers in my house, and my wife was looking at me like, really? You know, and then after getting used to it, then she understood, oh, that's just my husband. And I said, but that's how my grandmother taught me. She was aloha. She wasn't part of aloha. She was aloha, you know. She was like Nana Viri, and she lived it, breathed it, and I understood it as I understood my awareness, you know, when I learned to love myself. I understood the true essence, the true meaning of aloha, you know. And those that know me, it's like, okay, you know, it's just me. You can't take me out of that. And yes, we do have bad days, right, Crystal?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, we have bad days. But let me share this real quick, and then we'll get the – we have a caller on the line. But I wanted to share just this with you, too, because like Nana Viri, I grew up on the continent. You know, I didn't grow up in Hawaii. I was just blessed to have a Hawaiian dad and have Hawaiian family, Hawaiian relatives. Anyways, and but I grew up around my mother's mother, my maternal grandmother, and I learned that she, that the railroad bums, as what most people wouldn't call them, had a little code for them to go to her house. And one time in the summer, you know, there were people that would always come up, but I didn't know who they were and how come she didn't let them in the house. And then as I got older, I asked her, and oh, my grandmother only spoke Spanish. She quit speaking English in 1965 when my grandfather died. you know, one day my brother and I and my cousin were outside playing, and I was maybe about 12, and here comes this man knocking on the door for something to eat. And I have, you know, at that time I had a little bit more suspicious bone in me than like my mother. And so, you know, was asking the man who he was, and he said, oh, you know, the lady here feeds us. And I go, Where did you learn that from? I mean, who told you? Oh, and so that's how I learned about the bums having the signal about her house being a place that she was kind and would help feed them, right? So anyway, so, you know, I go yell at my grandmother, and she makes us all come inside. So even though she was very loving, she was still very cautious. You know, she wasn't just going to leave her grandkids out in the front yard with a complete stranger. But she would cook, you know, she would, you know, he would knock on the door and tell her, you know, that he was hungry, and she would tell him sit down, and she would hand him a glass, and so he could get water out of the faucet or the water hose. And so she would cook him, you know, cook them full meals, just like if she was cooking for us. And after he left, I asked her why, and she goes, because he was hungry. and it was like, well, mm-hmm. Done, Grandma, but, you know, you don't even know him. She goes, you mm-hmm. didn't need to know. He was just hungry, and I had food, and he was willing to eat what I had. And, you know, over the years, I would watch these men, sometimes women, it was mostly men, come eat, wash their plate over at the faucet, hand it back, tell her, thank you so much, God bless her, and, you know, head back to the train station, because my grandmother lived the street over from the train tracks. But that was, you know, that was her being, you know, being aloha and living aloha. She, you know, mm-hmm. you know, and my mom's oldest sister used to get after her because my grandmother was on an extremely fixed income for doing that. But my grandmother wasn't going to change. She was not going to let somebody go mm-hmm. hungry, you know. And so mm-hmm. so if anybody that knows me knows, you know, here, always, you know, doing some, you know, I don't advertise, but I always do something for the food bank. And any of the food drives that they have here at the grocery stores, I always, you know, Ron and I always contribute something. You know, some days it's $1, some days it's $10. It's just depending on payday or whatever. But mm-hmm. all my friends mm-hmm. know, hey, if you're hungry, come to my house. I'll definitely feed you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, we lost our caller. Sorry, it took too long.
Don't worry.
So if you want to call back,
no, but
I will pick it up. Sorry. So.
No worry. But, you know, again, that is what it is when you learn to live it, breathe it, and be it. You know, I share that post all the time on my Facebook page, you know, live it, breathe it, and then be it. Because all
right.
of a sudden it becomes, you know, it becomes you. And, you know, we have examples in our lives. We've had people that have been in front of our lives, been before us, or we've overlapped them. But in that space, we took what they shared, your grandmother, my grandmother, you know, and you watch these people and you go, awesome, you know. And that's just me. It's now you understand, for me, aloha, completely, the word aloha. We, you know, we were joking, you know, a couple of weeks ago about diving head first, and I just love that, you know, that euphemism of diving in head first, or like me, belly flop, but, you know, or bombing. But I just love that, you know,
that visual.
Immersing completely. Yeah, yeah. Like, it cannot help, you know, because I see this view of diving in, you know, and that view of those Olympic divers that when they dive in, they make a little splash, you know, that wow, okay, that's a perfect dive, you know, and here comes me, you know, running, tripping, and making the big belly flop and getting everybody else wet. But that's the idea for me is, hey, dive in, bomb, belly flop, but we're splashing that aloha on everyone because we want to make this contagious, you know. And when we can do that, then the world shifts. The world around you shifts, and then you understand aloha. If those of you that travel or even witness, you know, Hawaiian sharing with another culture, especially here in the you know, the Pacific region, when we greet one another, you know, people think, oh, they're rubbing noses. You know, we forehead to forehead, forehead to forehead, and we're exchanging ha, our breath. And what it is exchanging our essence with one another. We breathe in the essence of the other person as well. It's exchanging breath, exchanging your ha. That's what we talk about, living in this space of aloha. When we can live in a balanced life, when we can live, dive into, when we can fill ourselves up with, when we can surround ourselves with the essence of aloha, then we can truly understand when we share it with one another, whether through a handshake, a hug, an exchanging of ha or breath. One person will understand you and your intention. You know, again, like Crystal said, there's many things we do that we don't wear it on our sleeve, because it doesn't have to be worn on the sleeve. We live it, we breathe it, you feel it, you understand it, what comes from us. You know, you walk in, the rule in my house is, first time you are a guest. First time you come into my house, you're a guest. Pay attention, enjoy, because the next time when you come, I'm not serving you. You get off your okole, you make your own ice water or drink. If we have food
and
out of the table.
That is so not true. You told me that, but you didn't do that. Every time I try to go get a drink at his house, oh, no, I'll get him. What you like? No, I'll get him. No. When I went to go wash dishes, no, I'll get him. I'm like, my hands will not melt. I can wash dishes.
Because you're a guest on that trip. Try to come back the next time. So that's the rule, though. You know, and my
right.
wife will tell you that. Before she would like, she would be, and you know my wife, she would be like, well, that's my kitchen, you know. And now it's like, okay, the first time she'll point out where everything is, you know, and then the next time she's like, okay, go ahead, I'm going to sit here, you can do what you want, you know. And then again, there she would just make sure they're doing all well, but that's it. That's our law, that we live it, we breathe it, and that, you know, for us, that's it. We cannot... I think what would be hard for me is to figure out another way to live, because I don't think I could go back to any other way. You know, it just feels awesome to live in this space, to breathe it, to be it, you know, to live it. I don't think even you could go backwards and say, you know what?
No, you can't go backwards. I mean, you know, it's like what do you call it? That proverb, the Hawaiian proverb about the canoe, you know, our canoe only moves forward.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
You know, and like right now the big one going around on Facebook, because I think I've seen it like 7 times in the last 2 days from different people, but the one about, oh, you know, why the windshield is so big and the rearview mirror is so small, you know, because you got everything to look forward to and, you know, you don't have to look back. But which reminds me, when I was little, and I don't even know why, and I wish, you know, I guess I'm going to have to ask one of the aunties or uncles, because I asked my dad and he didn't remember. But my grandfather, my dad's dad that raised him, didn't like you to look in the rearview mirror, you know, like the boogeyman was going to come and get you. So when I would learn, when I was learning how to drive, I would whip my head around so I could go in reverse instead of using the mirrors. Now, my husband, the truck driver, you know, he has his commercial driver's license, and they use the mirrors so they can maneuver those big 18-wheeler trucks. When we lived in Kona, we had a 14-foot flatbed truck. And when we had stuff blocking out the back window, I had to use the mirrors, and it was like, ah, shit, how am I going to get around? Because I was so accustomed to not looking, using my mirrors, I would be whipping my head. But now I use my mirrors. I kept that tie, you know, but I'm not sure why, you know, my grandfather was real adamant about us not looking in the mirrors, you know, in the rearview mirrors in the car. I'm not sure what that was all about, but it's funny how, you know, you can get caught up in somebody else's belief system, and it will, you know, hold you back, hold you up, you know.
Yep, exactly. And that's it, though, you know. And I think, you know, we joke about going backwards or even looking back. I always tell my clients or people that I come across, I say, you can look back. Nothing wrong about looking back. But don't dwell there, you know. Don't dwell in yesterday. It's power. It's done. You know, take what we know, take what we learned from those lessons of yesterday, and apply, you know, apply those lessons or the outcome of those lessons to today, and, you know, move forward and enjoy. I want to share this a little bit. In the topic of aloha, here, you know, people look at, I'm in Hawaii, and oh, Hawaii is the greatest destination, and all of this, and, you know, and I believe that the word aloha, you know, it can be translated to every language around the world, and if we find it, or when we are in the space of our aloha, of that word aloha, wherever we go outside of where we're at, so you're in Texas and I'm in Hawaii, but when in that space of aloha, when immersed in it, when living it, breathing it, being it, wherever you go, you will find the equivalent around the world. And it is a universal word, just not, again, they may have their own word, but you can take that essence and go all over the world and you will find it. It will come back to you. It will be reciprocated. And that's the idea, is to be able to dive into it, live it, breathe it, and watch what happens when you live it, breathe it, and you be it. You will find that vibration of the essence of aloha anywhere in the world. And that might be the meanest person you'll come across, but in that space of aloha, in that space or that essence of that word, watch what happens. You can melt the heart of the biggest person just by how you bring out that word from within you. You know, we talk about aloha as everything, the essence of. Aloha is also the energy, an energy of all of that that we share, the meaning of it. You know, all of that. It's an energy that we possess within us, that when we live it, breathe it, that energy cannot help but spread from you, you know. And that's what we're here to share with you. You know, Crystal shared earlier that we're discussing, and it'll be a series, which is awesome. But begin with aloha. Understanding aloha, allowing aloha to enter into you, come from within, wherever. But look at that and go, I'm ready. I need to love myself. I need to rock on myself. I can't rock on others, but I can rock on myself. You know, and whatever word you have in your language that is equivalent to aloha, there it is. It's just an essence. It's just an energy that we all have that we need to bring forth, live it, breathe it, and be it. And it will make the greatest difference in the world. Then each of us wouldn't be strangers. We would recognize each other by the light that we have.
Are we, there's strangers
yes.
out there?
Well, to you and I, no, but to others, you know. To others,
yeah.
that might be, oh, wow, you know. But to you and I, you know, again, Aloha bridges that gap that removes that space of a stranger, you know.
Yeah.
My
I got to share this funny story
watching,
with you. Go ahead.
No, my girls were watching just the other day a brief documentary on Baghdad and what was happening in the Middle East. And it, one was a father, a taxi driver from Iraq that chronicled everything through his video camera. And another was a correspondent that was with the United States military, and they chronologized or videotaped. And my girls were in tears because of what they saw. And it wasn't so much of a killing of here and this, but my girls were identifying with children that were being killed innocently, or children just like them, same age as them, that are going to school. And again, in fear, and they were in tears, and they said, Dad, you know, we got to be thankful and grateful that we are in this space, that we don't have to deal with that. And I'm sure they want peace just like we do. And I said, exactly. You know, and so when we talk about Aloha, here it is. If we can spread the Aloha around the world, you know, and remove assumptions and watch what happens. You know, the world can shift, and that's what we're about, is shifting our world around us so that that can go to a greater level, that others, you know, their light grew and grew and grew and so on and so forth, so that we can make a difference, you know. So anyway, sorry.
No worries. Okay, two things. Let's see if I can get this quickly. When you were talking about how we greet each other in Hawaii, where we do the forehead and exchange ha, when my mother saw that for the first time, she goes, wow, they do just like the Eskimos and rub noses. And the reason that's extremely hilarious to me is I was born in Alaska. My dad was stationed in Fort Wainwright, which is near Fairbanks, Alaska, during the 60s. And so we were there for, I think, 3 years. And so my mom got to see that their culture and the whole nose, you know, their greeting of doing the noses, right? And so when she came to Hawaii and she saw that, she was like, wow, y'all do, you know, my dad had to explain her, no, we don't do exactly like the Eskimos, but it's similar. And but and so to this day, my mother still calls me her little Eskimo. Granted, I'm 5'9", and I haven't been little since sixth grade. But you know, and she and when we she and I still greet, we'll do the Eskimo, you know, rub noses, exchange greeting from time to time. Not always, just sometimes. But you know, she'll oh, come here, my little Eskimo, and you know, and we'll do the nose thing. And then there was something else that you had said there.
I love that.
I know. She is so funny. She, you know, my mother, my love of cultures came from my mother. My dad was accustomed to being around mixed cultures. My mother was not. And her family, they were migrant farm workers. So, you know, she is the one that taught us to embrace other people's cultures, customs, their foods, and I've definitely embraced food. We used to always have potlucks at the house, and if you put it on your plate, you had to eat it. That was the rules at my mother's house. So I like everything but beef. So if you don't want me at your house, have beef. So.
Oh.
And then the other thing that I was wanting to share on what you were saying about the love, you know, just embracing the love. It starts with us, you know, Mother Teresa, all of the famous people that have done their spiritual work, they tell you it starts with us, start with you. It doesn't have to be huge things. It can be just little things. My husband and I were talking about what to get my dad for his birthday since he's bedridden and, you know, and I was like, I don't know, you know, he's done all this cool stuff, you know, and so we went through that struggle. Then the other night we were watching a show on TV. I'm trying to remember. In the first 48 hours or something like that, it's about murder cases. And there was some guy killing homeless people in Atlanta. And my husband asked me, he goes, did you ever know anybody that was mean to homeless people? And I was like, no. And it brought me back to thinking about my dad. And I told him, you know, and that showing charity and being generous. And I told him, I said, no. I said, I never knew anybody about being, you know, how to be mean and to, you know, to homeless. I said, you know, and just to, you know, be charitable and show kindness. And, you know, my dad had different kinds of things going on. To, you know, help, he would do benefits for this, that, and the other. And so I hadn't thought about any of that stuff that my dad had done in years, you know, years and years ago, until my husband asked me about homeless, you know, if I had known anybody being mean to homeless. And I said, no, I said, you know, my husband's the funniest. If he sees a homeless person with a sign that says, I won't lie, I'm going to use my money for booze, my husband will give him money in a heartbeat. And I just sit and crack, you know, and I just sit and crack up about it. But, and the thing of it is my husband's real adamant about, hey, if you're going to be truthful to me and tell me what you're going to need the money for, I'm going to give it to you. But if you're going to say, you know, we'll work for food, you know, blah, 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 most of them won't work for food. And we've had a bad experience, so that's why. But, you know, if you're going to tell us the truth, yeah, I just want a beer. My husband will lay out the cash in a heartbeat. So, but the charity starts at home, starts with yourself. Be kind. Be loving to yourself. Do something for yourself, which brings me back to the bubble bath and the telephone. I thought, you know, that was the coolest thing, that celebrities could sit in the bathtub and, you know, take a bubble bath and be on the telephone. Okay. That was my illusion of what pampering yourself was. So I took it one step further and I pampered myself by being in the bathtub and reading a book. When I met my husband, I used to always sit in the bathtub and read a novel. You know, that was my way of doing things. And so I would sit and enjoy a good novel in the bathtub. So what is it that you enjoy doing that you feel that you don't have enough time to do? You have to make the time for yourself. You're important. Make yourself important. You are love. Make yourself love. This is your innate first gift from Keakua, is aloha. So embrace it. Do what you need to do to make yourself happier, more passionate, and more loving. And if you got to go around kissing your hand like Crazy Crystal does, knock yourself out. You don't have to tell. I just shared because my clients think it's the funniest thing. They giggle at me. They have that smart. But if you have difficulty looking in the mirror and telling yourself, I love you, it's not easy, you know, because only you know all of your deepest, darkest secrets. Not even your best friend knows every little rotten thing you may have done. So what? Who cares? It's in the past. Today is the day you dive into Aloha, into loving yourself, and into being more passionate with yourself. So with that in mind, get your hand, look in the mirror, I love you, sit in the bubble bath, do something for yourself, get a massage, whatever it is to Aloha you. So I'm going to leave you on that happy note. I Aloha you. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week. And we will be back next week with our topic, diving into Malu Maluia. So Aloha, ohui ho. Our website is the number 9hightime.com. Email is the number 9hightime@gmail.com. Aloha, ohui ho, malama pono.